You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Planning to go see this movie after listening to our review? Well, click on the helpful Fandango link right at the bottom of the page to buy your tickets. In Cloverfield Lane, we get to see Mary Elizabeth Winstead get menaced by a giant monster named John Goodman.
He's so giant.
Well, he's skinny now.
He's compared to the last time we saw him, he's skinny.
Are you serious?
When he was doing press for the film, he slimmed down a lot.
Oh my god. Good for him, but that man looks like he's about to drop dead of a heart attack any second.
Yeah, he's been big for a long time, and like, I can't remember what it was we saw him in, like last year or something.
Trumbo? It might be The Gambler.
The Gambler, yeah, where he was like, oh my god.
Where he's like in a Russian spitz or whatever.
I mean, he must be 300 pounds now. What do you think? I mean, he's a tall guy too. He's like 6'3" or something. Something like that. He's huge. He's like a mountain of flesh.
Yeah. No, which is also not to say, you know, you're watching this film, you go into it, and part of the, like, interest here is, like, is he good or is he bad or is he somewhere in between, really? You know, he's certainly frightening, no matter what.
But we know that all fat people are evil, Chris. Or jovial. It's one or the other. So
he's sometimes jovial.
Sometimes jovial.
I just have to say, this is probably the most intense episode of Roseanne ever. sequel series.
At one point, Herman like leaned over to me when the first bang happened above the ceiling. He leans over to me and goes, "It's Roseanne," and I just like cracked up so hard.
Roseanne is the Cloverfield.
Yeah, it was really good. That would be utterly terrifying. But
well, as I said, we're reviewing 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm Chris, JC,
Kat,
Herman.
Davis.
Davis?
Davis.
That's cool. Wow. Okay, I dig it. That's awesome.
It's confusing.
I know.
I'm not called that. So sorry.
That's okay.
I go by my last name. That's all. I should have warned you.
So the story here follows Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Michelle as she is packing up to leave quickly as we find out that basically she's leaving her boyfriend or husband. I don't think they specify. A guy named Ben.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's calling her going, please don't leave. It was just a fight. Come back. And suddenly she gets in a car accident. Wham, bang. Wakes up in a concrete cellar chained to a wall.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my god, JC, seriously. I went in and I was like, I didn't read anything about this, didn't see any of the press. Yeah. I was like, if this is torture porn, I'm getting up and walking out because I hate that stuff. I was like, no!
And to be clear, this movie is decidedly
not that, thank god, yeah.
It's psychological torture.
It is.
Yeah.
on the audience, not on the characters necessarily.
It does a really good job of kind of throwing all kinds of misdirection at you because, for one, it's a movie that did come out of nowhere. Nobody really knew anything about it until maybe a month ago. And from the trailers that came out, if you watch the trailer, you know that even though it looks like she's on the set of Saw, that it's probably not going to be a torture porn, but then it starts out and looks like it is. It keeps you guessing.
There's a lot of misdirection all the way through. Right off the bat, even the way they're shooting John Goodman as he comes into the locked room she's in, and like they're shooting him from below, looking up to give him a very intimidating look.
Yeah.
He's very terse in the way that he speaks, and really putting her and the audience situation like, you have no idea what this guy's intention is.
Yeah, exactly.
But as it, you know, very shortly he reveals this, like, look, you know, I'm honestly, you're in this accident. I found you, and when all the shit went down, I basically saved your life. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, it's the end of the world out there. Like, something happened. I'm not even entirely clear what, but I guarantee it happened, and it's unlivable. You can't even go outside, or you'll die. And, of course, she's like, you're a crazy person.
As we say in Scotland, I write.
I mean, he's got this amazing shelter, you know.
Yeah. Almog Khan's.
I've lived in apartments.
I was going to say, my Tokyo apartment was smaller than that by quite a lot.
He has a nice VHS collection, Pretty in Pink. Yeah.
I know. That was great. Yeah, wow.
Cannibal Airline.
Is that a real movie? I really hope it is.
I don't know. Probably.
It's a very interesting taste.
No slushos in his apartment.
What's that? What's a slush?
Oh, it's a running Cloverfield joke.
Oh.
Anything with J.J. Abrams has slush out.
Oh, it's like a brand of drink?
Like Slurpee.
Oh, it's like a Slurpee.
We see it earlier in a convenience store that she's at when she's filling up with gas. In the window, you see slush out.
Oh, it's there?
It's just a running
Was that
Abrams
in
joke.
Force Awakens as well?
I don't Technically, that's not the Abrams verse.
Well, I guess I'll have to watch it again.
Oh, God.
But, you know, it turns out there's another guy in there as well, played by John Gallagher Jr., Emmett, who, like, you know, he's all beaten up looking, and she's like, well, did he do that to you? He's like, no, I did it trying to get in the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's not kidding. Shit went down, mm-hmm. and I don't know what it is, but I guarantee you some serious shit's going on.
But we don't know if that, what I loved about that is that we don't know whether he's crazy too,
yeah.
and whether, or whether he is, him. Exactly, or being paid, or, you know, coerced into saying these things to her.
Or
so.
Really, really dumb.
He is really dumb, but he's so cute.
He's naive and he had, in his, you know, charming way.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like a nice southern boy who's not too bright.
A kind of thing. Redneck.
Yeah, with a hipster beard, though.
That's the thing, they give us time to get to know all of these characters, mm-hmm. yeah. and because it is really a bottle film for the first 2.5 acts.
Mm. yeah.
Like, these people in a very small space.
Yeah.
Lots of, like, back and forth of, like, wait, how do we trust this guy? Is he telling the truth? Wait, maybe there's another level to this. What, you know, and regardless, knowing this guy definitely has alpha male issues anyway.
Like, daddy, like, paternalism issues for starters. Oh,
so,
my God.
So even when you're like, okay, I 100% believe him and I 100% believe I'm safer in here, he's still pretty frightening.
Well, there is a dungeon down there, and she was chained to the wall.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Like, as cool as he is, there is still that.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's really ever cool.
He's just got, like, his menace recedes for a little while.
He considers himself to be a very calm individual. Yeah. He even says so.
He has a great jukebox.
Yep. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But obviously, given that, as Chris said, it's like a bottle film, and that, you know, it's extremely intense and, like, you know, tightly focused on these three people, and it's less a genre film even than a kind of human drama / character actor showcase, right? For the first, hour, maybe?
Yeah.
And all three actors are so good, particularly John Goodman, who I was just saying before we said, he makes your skin crawl every time he's on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Just this air of, like, suppressed menace that's almost showing in every scene, which I think it was brilliant. Like, I mean, he was one of the scariest kind of, I thought it was going to be a straight up serial killer flick, actually. That's what I was expecting.
That's the thing, is that there were so many expectations that it kept overthrowing or left oblique enough that you really still just don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of insinuations that maybe this, maybe that, you know, like almost sort of like Hitchcockian in the way that the mystery is built up around this guy and who he is and who he's not.
Mm.
And even as you, the audience, become convinced, I mean, and they convince you, okay, they're definitely, the redneck dude's right. Something did go down outside in a big, wow, everything is fucked up way, but it's still very unclear what. Now, of course, this being clear that it's tied into, I mean, there's no mistake, this is tied into the film Clover. I mean, it's called 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's made by Bad Robot Productions.
Yeah.
And they've said as much. You know, so you're watching this going, well, obviously what's outside is just the giant monster.
Right, we think it's aliens.
The alien, right. All right, so which we had no idea what that was in the first Cloverfield.
No.
We just knew there was a giant fucking monster tearing up the city.
Yeah.
You know, so fear not, Cloverfield fans.
Mm-hmm.
This film is also a really effective standalone film. But when it gets to that last half of the last act, we do get what you're looking for.
Completely loses its shit. Oh, my God.
I don't want to say any more details about it except that it's not the Cloverfield monster that you've seen.
Right.
It's something new that is going to, I think, make you very happy and advance the mystique of the information that we have about the Cloverfield universe. Yeah. It advances that storyline.
Absolutely. That's what I found so interesting about the film. Emily and I were talking after the movie, and I said that this... Is anyone familiar with World War Z by Max Brooks?
Yeah, I've read the books, all the movies.
Yeah, great. I don't care for the film, but because it's not the book at all. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But it's a collection of all these different stories, you know, throughout the zombie apocalypse and engulfed the world, and where even the zombies didn't really even factor into some of the stories, whether it be just like a tale of survival or whatever. That's what this movie feels like, where it's a story, it's a small story within a much larger a world global type story. It's like this small intimate thing. And if you're going to go into the film with that in mind, you're going to, I think people are going to really like this film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, not think of it as Cloverfield 2.
Yeah.
Right.
Which it is not.
No, absolutely.
Definitely not. Yeah.
But if you're going to go in, I just want to see giant monster movies. I want to see the other half of T.J. Miller cameo in the film.
And, with the hand, know, with handheld footage and stuff. Yeah. No, it is completely different. Absolutely. But,
because I think there are some people where the, how much it ties into the first Cloverfield is probably going to be ambiguous for some. Like, some might think it does tie directly into it, some might not think it does at all, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that it's a well-crafted movie.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It feels... I mean, like, they've said this is the same universe as Cloverfield.
Right. They've actually come out and said that. Yeah. I thought it was...
It's like a side story. It shares the same blood as
Cloverfield. Abrams just called it a blood relative.
Yeah, a blood relative. Yeah. And really what you've got is, like, it's Cloverfield 1.5 or even 1.3. And it made me... I mean, it's so well made. And obviously, like, just alone as a movie, you take everything else away from it, any connection to Cloverfield or how you judge that connection. It's just a solid movie. But it also made me pine for more franchises to do stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like a Supermax in the DC universe, that script that's been floating around forever.
Green Arrow?
Green Arrow goes to prison.
I love that so
and
much.
And it's a whole, like, Green Arrow escapes from prison while trying to...
All these C and D-list villains are trying to kill him.
Amazing. What a great little bottle movie side, inexpensive to make side story.
Absolutely.
That they'll never make because they think, well, that's not how you do superheroes.
And that's not going to sell.
Well, you're kind of seeing that with like, The Purge. Like, when the first Purge came out, like, this is a good idea. I'd like to see what else is happening out there. And you've gotten that with the second movie, and now the third movie of that is coming out, and it's kind of like you said, too, it's similar to World War Z, and this is something else happening sort of at the same time in just a completely different part of the country. Like, that's a fascinating world that this is opening up.
Can we talk for a minute about how good Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in this role and how perfectly chosen she was?
She's like the badass Zooey Deschanel.
She's usually always, like, one of the best things in a film, even if the movie itself isn't that great. Like, The Thing prequel, which I didn't like, but she was probably the only compelling thing about that film.
Yeah.
You know, so,
She was
Fantastic Fest film she was in, but it was also her being sort of chained in a room or something.
I don't think it was Fantastic Fest, but it was one, it was called Faults.
Faults,
written directed by her husband.
Yes.
Who's a Pflugerville native, actually.
It was also a little bottle film with her kind of trapped in a room.
Trapped in Pflugerville.
So clearly that's her gig. They're like, if you want a woman who's trapped in a small space with a scary guy, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
She's got one of those faces, though, with this, like, all eyes and, like, all, like, cheekbones and eyes, like, looking harassed and terrified. So, she's a perfect, like, horror movie heroine.
It would have been great if at the end Scott Pilgrim had come and saved her.
Oh, well, she didn't need saving. She saved herself. Oh, my God.
That's true. She's a strong woman.
She was a great play on the, you know, the last female trope in horror, where there's the one left is always the last girl, you know what I mean? But she was a great, like, play on that, I thought, because she was such a badass, and she was so capable. And, I mean, at the beginning, I actually kind of felt that was a little bit unrealistic, because she's just a girl. She's not had any combat training. She's not particularly athletic. Like, she's just this sort of a slim girl. She cries for about 10 seconds, and then she's right.
No, don't say too much.
Right. I'm going to kick some ass kind of thing. You know, so, I mean, I kind of thought that kind of kicked into high gear a bit too soon, maybe. She kind of accepted it
maybe it's one of those, like, I am a survivor.
Yeah.
And she obviously is.
Fight or flight.
Interesting to note, Bradley Cooper was the voice of Ben.
That's who it was. I'm thinking, is that Bradley?
No way. No, you actually thought that? You clocked that?
I watched Silver Linings Playbook over the weekend, so I'm thinking, that sounds familiar.
His dulcet tones. Yeah. Oh, man.
I must not pay enough attention to that.
Yeah, it didn't sound familiar at all to me when I was listening to it. It's surprising, because I've seen, you know, he is a voice actor now in one of the biggest movies ever made, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Rocket Raccoon. Now I want to see Ben's story. I want to see Bradley Cooper in the next anthology.
I think that'd be so fun. I'd watch that for sure. Absolutely.
I mean, you never know. It might be something where, like, his intention is, like, let's get a good actor for this anyway, for this small bit.
Yeah.
So that if we want to come back and revisit him and what happens to him in another story coming up later, then, hey, you know, there's another small but interesting thing that ties everything all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's the most J.J. Abrams thing to do in the universe. You know, I mean, this is
get him on the phone. Tell
Lost, you know? It's like, oh, God. Well, absolutely.
Let's make sure everything.
Until it doesn't, exactly. Can we talk about, maybe without giving away anything, talk about how coherent the last act was? Because I kind of had an issue with it, because I was really engaged when it was super tightly focused on these three and John Goodman was being extremely menacing. There's a scene, I think we can talk about this. There's a scene where they're playing Pictionary.
Yes.
And can I say this part? Is this a giveaway?
Yeah, as long as it's not specific to plot elements.
It's not specific to plot elements, but there's a scene with John Goodman is basically...
specific to his creepiness.
It's specific to his creepiness, but they're playing Pictionary and Emmett, the young guy, like goes, oh, well, what's her name? Shelley. Michelle. Michelle is one. And John Goodman goes, girl. And then he goes, no, like older. And he goes, he can't say the word. And then he's like, little princess. And I was just like, oh my God, my stomach just like
turned. You know
what it
was, because the first word is little. And clearly he's going with little woman. But this is a guy, and we see it with his patriarchal sort of obsession.
Yeah.
That like he can't think of woman as woman.
No.
He thinks of them as little
girls.
Need to be protected.
Yeah.
And whatever else which is left kind of question mark. Which is like, you know, that's
the movie's filled with moments like that.
Yeah.
Where you're like he's clearly crazy, but how crazy is he?
And maybe
he's just like a conspiratorial redneck, and that's about as bad as it gets.
Or
is he something much worse?
Exactly. But yeah. I was like super engaged right up until the final act kicks in, and then I was like, oh God, really? It was like a roller coaster of just create insanity that I thought it kind of devalued what had happened before.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to final thoughts.
Okay.
And then we'll come back after final thoughts and talk spoilers for the ending.
Okay.
I was going to ask. I was like, can we do
because this movie's really hard to talk about without giving that away, right?
Yeah. Okay. Go into your final thoughts.
Okay, well, sorry. I feel like I've talked a lot on this one, but I did. I really liked it. I was extremely entertained throughout. I thought it was a really great example of a movie that it's kind of multiple films in one. It's got elements of multiple genres. And as Chris, you said, you never know which way it's going to go. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that because if there's one thing I really dislike, it's predictability, like in people and movies. So, it gets the heart going. You know, I like that. Yes, absolutely. And, Herman was making fun of me for cringing and like hiding at points because I do duck and cover when I think something bad is going to happen, especially when the music builds. The score was great. The script was super sharp.
Bear McCreary made his career off of Battlestar Galactica. Music
awesome.
Was so good.
Yeah,
like, say what you will about the show, the music was great. Yeah. And now he's like an A-list Hollywood like music guy.
Well, great. There you go. All good things start with Battlestar Galactica, apparently. So, I mean, the score was just like had a couple of like really great nods to just like I love horror personally. It has a couple of great nods to, like classic horror tropes of like screaming violins and stuff like that. You know, at the beginning. So yeah, the soundtrack was great. The script was just super sharp and on point and like dripping with menace the whole time. Mm-hmm. And the interplay between particularly the two male characters was excellent. I didn't like... I kind of... Going in knowing that... I've seen Cloverfield and I really enjoyed it. But going in, I kind of didn't even connect the two, you know? That was really stupid of me. I literally went in with zero expectations of this. And then I was like, oh, that's the denouement? Really? So, yeah, I'm going to give it... let's see. I can't even do a rating thing without giving spoilers away. Hang on a minute. Okay.
Think of an arbitrary thing.
I'm thinking of arbitrary things. Okay, I would give it, on balance, 7.5... vaguely menacing Pictionary cards out of 10.
side note, one of the three writers of this was Damien Chazelle, who wrote and directed Whiplash.
Yeah.
Oh,
which
wow.
Was amazing and super tight.
He's good at writing
so
people who
yell.
Like, great with those, like, simmering tension between people sequences.
And then, like, jarring kind of back to reality.
And then having a guy explode out of nowhere.
Keeps you on your toes.
I really liked it. I'm like a comedy movie fan, so this is maybe a genre that I don't get into as much, but I really enjoyed it. It felt like a summer movie to me and how like fun and big it was. And I was jumping in my seat. Like it was so engaging. Highly recommend it. And I really need to brush up on my survival skills. And I have definite bunker envy that place. In a way that I should maybe examine.
I've made peace with the fact that if anything vaguely resembling Armageddon happens, I'm going to be one of the first to die.
I was just saying this as well. Exactly. I was like, I completely agree with you, David. Like, I was like, she is a badass. I would want to be her friend.
Yeah.
Because she could be the one, like, helping us survive.
Follow her.
I couldn't do anything. Yeah.
And I also appreciated the kind of commentary on the smartphone and how worthless it was and how attached she was to it. And when she needed something, like some actual thing, it was totally worthless because it would be. So I would give this movie, it's hard to think without giving out
right
info, but I would give it 9 out of 10 actually useful skills.
Yeah, JC? There's always one or two movies every year that surprise me because they sort of come out of nowhere and I know nothing about them. And by nature of its choice of how it came out, it's sort of this, you know, nobody really knew anything about it going in because that's the way J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot wanted it. And so the fact that this was a pleasant surprise was awesome to me. I liked all the pieces involved. The guy that played Emmett, I really liked him in Newsroom. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Not quickly, probably has been for a while, one of my favorite underrated actresses.
Ever since Sky High.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of my greatest fears is that, because I mentioned she's married to a guy that lives in Pflugerville, and I have friends that are friends with him, and one of my greatest fears is that I'm going to meet her one of these days and make a complete fool of myself.
Aww.
Because I don't usually get starstruck, but I feel like I would.
Well, you should get to know you once she spent a few weeks inside your concrete.
That's true.
She'll know the real JC.
But every piece of this movie worked for me except for the last couple of minutes, which we'll dive into in a few minutes when we get into the spoiler part of it. But yeah, really solid all around. You don't need to have watched Cloverfield to enjoy this one. If J.J. Abrams has said there's a correlation, there is. Some people don't believe there is. I think that's kind of what's cool about it. It stands alone on its own really well. Fantastic all around. I would give it 8 out of 10. Man, I always come up with something in the theater that I forget. I would give it 8 out of 10 copies of Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yes.
Just make sure the cat doesn't need a paperclip.
Constant vigilance.
I loved it. I was a huge fan of the original Cloverfield, and that's come from someone who just doesn't like found footage movies. Mm. You know, it's Cloverfield and Troll Hunter 2. That's about it. I like the fact that this movie was so different from the original film that it took that risk, that it was spent so much time just focusing on all the characters. You know, John Goodman is, as we've all said, is completely terrifying in this film.
Yeah.
Maybe this is hyperbolic, but I think his performance is award worthy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, Oscar or anything like that, but I hope he gets more, more roles and is in more films. I'm just trying to think. Do I have anything negative to say? Well, maybe something, and we can go when we go into the spoiler portion of the review. But yeah, for right now, I just have to give it 9 out of 10 missing puzzle pieces.
No.
Yeah, I really loved this too.
That's what it was.
I think.
Yeah.
You stole it from JC's brain. Nice. Nice.
I really enjoyed this from start to finish. I think it depended so much on just this taut screenplay and just wonderful performances from all three of the leads. It's even though it's like, you know, three people in a room, basically, it keeps you on the edge of the seat the whole time. And like I said, Hitchcockian, I couldn't help but think of something like Rope. You know, which is, the same type of idea. How are you feeling this tense? Well, it's because you never really know to what degree the malice is and who is the one to be scared of. And I personally loved the ending, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I liked the way, just when you think you feel like you have a sense of relief, things become a thousand times worse.
and her reaction matches that, too.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that aspect of it quite a bit. Like, at its worst, I feel like maybe this could have cut down the running time just a little bit, but, like, maybe 10 minutes tops. You know, it's for a film that relies on this type of tension, it's really important to make sure the audience isn't given but so many chances to breathe. And I feel like maybe there was a chance or two too many in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And to that end, just to interject real quick, as far as, like, cutting down the runtime, it could have been done in the montage because you have a hard time establishing the timeline and how long...
Yeah.
has passed, especially because like it, like wounds are inflicted.
Sure.
And they heal at really weird rates. That's another weird issue I have.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, you can do some nitpicking for sure. And I noticed that as well. But ultimately, I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
But I give this 9 out of 10 sherry slushos because they're delicious in theory. All right. So that last ending there, Kat, you're the one who wanted to talk about it most insistently. So
I always insistently want to talk about things. Chris. Just tell me to shut up if I talk too much. But
no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, good. So I really dislike alien movies, like not the series Alien. That's pretty ironically the only series of extraterrestrial movies I actually like is Alien.
The first two are.
All right. But yeah, I actually liked the third one. I'm like the only one. I actually cried the part where the alien is the baby alien. Oh my god.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. It was a confusing time.
Cute in its own way.
It was heartbreaking. Anyway, I don't like alien extraterrestrial movies. Okay. And I can't say that word. And this I felt like I really enjoy kind of human drama / psychological thriller is basically my favorite genre or subgenre. And then I felt kind of cheated, even though knowing it was called Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. I felt really cheated when she got out and it actually was what we thought it was. You know, I was wanting it to be, what I was actually kind of thinking was when she got outside and she realized we're allowed to be spoilery, right?
Yeah.
She realized she could breathe and she got a rip in her makeshift hazmat suit and she didn't start melting. Her skin didn't start melting. I was like, oh my God, this was an elaborate ruse created by Howard.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
And he paid people to be actors. How fucking creepy would that have been?
I thought that too.
But that's also that's the ultimate moment of false relief. Which is why I like it because you let out this collective sigh.
You're like, he did this.
You go, she beat him.
Yeah.
She escaped.
And
he was lying the whole time and she was right to do everything she did. And what I love about the fact that, no way, he wasn't completely wrong and that it gets worse.
No, he was right,
It's a hard call whether or not she should have just stayed in there or not.
Yeah. Right.
After she sees what is going on. He had no clue. He wasn't even close to being right.
No.
What was going on.
Either the Ruskies or maybe
the
aliens.
Or maybe aliens. Yeah. You know, it might be foreign military or aliens. We don't know.
Okay, so he was right, but in a way that he never could have imagined. Yeah.
So we know that he didn't know for sure it was extraterrestrial.
No, he just knew something had happened that was making life dangerous outside.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
He had watched the pigs disintegrate, and that's probably because that those ships coming over,
the gas,
blasting the place with gas that were, you know, not like you can't breathe in a general.
Right. Any biological life form is gonna die, kind of thing. But I do actually, that is a fair point, and I do agree with you that in terms of maybe I would have felt, I don't know, maybe I would, it probably actually thinking about it probably would have been kind of felt like a false ending if it had just been him being a crazy person. I mean, you are right about that. Okay, but I just have this kind of innate dislike of movies that rely on aliens. They're kind of this really convenient deus ex machina that, you know, anything. It's like zombies, right? I also am sick of zombies. Just can you please tell everyone to stop making zombie movies? Because it's like, it's so easy. It's so boring. Like, now, for me, it's so much more interesting when it's human beings that are the bad guy.
But that's usually that's always the interesting part of, like, those types of films. Like, in, you know, even though I'm not a fan of The Walking Dead, the most interesting part is not so much the zombies, it's the people and what's going on.
In a high-pressure situation,
It's like, they're the monsters.
Yeah.
I also have to give this unique points for both doing that. I made a movie that's more than three-quarters that, exactly what you're talking about, and still has enough to keep fans of that franchise and the sci-fi happy with stuff that doesn't look like anything we've seen before with aliens.
Do you really think it was? Because I was like, this looks like the part where the alien thing is trying to, like, find her in the shed. There's, like, a scene in, like, Signs that's exactly like that, pretty much.
The Signs creatures are just anthropods.
I know, but the whole, like, tension of it, like, it's like a snake thing. I'm like, well, that wasn't that impressive.
It's more like a lamprey or something. But then, like, the ship. Oh,
those
ship
are creepy.
Itself, they're like the ship. Would you assume is just a ship, and then find out it's techno-organic?
It's biomechanical. That's what I love about that.
Like, okay, it's like Lovecraftian.
You see that in H.R. Giger alien designs, but in a really different way than what you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all of that I was cool with. Like, when I said I didn't like the alien, it's one of those rare times where the movie affected me a little bit, and I didn't like the final shot. Like,
yeah.
In her choice of, like, safety or
going to fight
Houston
to help. Yeah.
To help. I'm like, what? No, go to safety.
I mean, I can certainly understand the whole done enough. Get the fuck out of there. But I do like the aspect of, like, she's proud of herself that she got out of that situation. Sure. And fuck, she should be. I mean, hard enough to get away from John Candy. What's
John,
that?
John Candy's actually alive. And
but to get away from, like, a monster techno-organic alien. Its little flunky creatures, but all by herself with no preparation. You're like, yeah, you're kind of a badass.
But you don't think she'd be? She's just a normal girl. Again, that really didn't sit well with me. The final shot as well, because I'm like, this is just a normal girl. She's not had any military training. She's trying to be a fashion designer, and then having been through the most stressful, she's seen two people die, the most stressful, intense experience of anyone's life. She's like, yeah, I'm going to keep fighting. No, she'd be like crying on the ground in massive shock.
I almost would have preferred like them not showing her choice at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's certainly been a lot of exploration about there are people that, regardless of what choices they've made in life, sometimes when they're put in situations of extreme stress, some people, even people in the military, can just curl into a shivering ball.
Yeah.
And other people, you know, your neighbor who, like, does computer data entry turns out to be the ultimate badass.
The badass, yeah.
They've got these reserves inside themselves they didn't even know they had.
Perfect example.
Fair point.
Believing that possibility. Yeah. Mm. I mean, she certainly she's already gone through the worst emotionally by the time she gets outside.
Yeah.
So she, at that point, she's just like,
yeah,
fuck it. The only thing that pissed me off about that is she ruined a perfectly good bottle of single malt scotch.
Yeah. To very good end, though. And I was looking at the label and I was like, that is not a real place in Scotland. It's like some Glen that doesn't exist.
Well, to know that even the filmmakers weren't going to waste a real
They're all called Glen something. Can I just one last thing that pissed me off about the ending, right?
Okay.
Is the fact that, again, I've mentioned that she doesn't have any muscle tones, so to speak of, because I noticed because her arms were, like, kind of soft, which I'm not criticizing. I think it's nice and soft and feminine, whatever. But she, like, does this, she takes this bottle of whiskey, she makes, like, a makeshift Molotov cocktail. Well, a Molotov cocktail. She winds back and throws it directly. I mean, that is a serious professional baseball pitch right there.
It would have gone, like, 5 feet.
No one could have made that.
And whiskey bottles are heavy.
Yeah, she's 110 pounds, if that, right? And she's, like, she's not a professional pitcher.
Yeah, that would have chalked up to the
kind of pissed me off.
Adrenaline rush that.
All right.
Okay. That one I chalked up to.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just convenient. I just find it a bit too convenient. The whole ending was too schlocky, too convenient, and just kind of pissed me off. So, yeah.
Okay, well,
it does reek a little bit of, I've seen Independence Day.
Right. It's like, oh, we're doing Independence Day now? It was so tight and controlled and, like, focused.
Use her laptop to hack into the...
Yeah.
With, like, scrolling numbers.
Oh, look. The aliens have a Facebook page.
Yes. I'm going to hack it by typing.
No, I'll just make it really depressed by saying horrible things about it to all its friends.
Liking and then unliking.
So have you heard that aliens are a pedophile?
You know,
the NSA is on it.
There's one thing I want to bring up. It's not so much about the spoiler, although I want to get into one spoiler because it really scared me. But the director of this film, this is like his first feature
film.
Dan
Trachtenberg. Yeah.
And like he is probably best known online for making a short film called Portal No Escape, which is based on...
Which is really cool.
Which is great, yeah, based on the Portal video game series. So, I mean, it's fantastic. I really want to see more from him. But yeah, I just want to talk about like some of the, like, the super scary moments. Like I have this thing where like body horror really freaks me out.
Me
even
too.
Though I like watching it.
Oh, thank God.
You know,
you like watching it?
It's like it's a hate love relationship. Like,
no,
the movie's like the thing and stuff like that.
No.
But like, did anyone just like
make you watch some David Cronenberg films?
No. Scanners.
Watch the
greatest body horror movies ever made.
Yeah. But like, anytime like you have acid in the film, it's like that's not good.
Ah,
that's just gonna be
yes.
Right off
people
the bat,
are gonna melt.
If someone has a bucket of acid, like they're not a good guy.
No,
I want to show you something.
I was pretty sure the body of the girl that it's implied heavily that he murdered was going to have been dissolved in that.
Well, yeah, I think it's insinuated. That's probably exactly what happened.
So that's the other thing that I want to bring up. So that like it seems like he has brought people to this place before, even before all this crazy shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like Megan or Brittany, as we find out who it really is.
Yeah.
It's like, again, that's just, it's just expanding this really interesting story and who John Goodman, you know, was in the film. So good.
So good, exactly. And that's why, that's the kind of part that really had me so hooked, because we've had this nice happy montage of she's accepted the fact that, you know, because she's gone up to, she's stolen John Goodman's keys, got up to the final door, and there's like a window plate, and then she's seen like this woman who's like, her skin is melting off, and she's like, let me in. And then she, you know, bangs her head on the window to kill herself, kind of thing. So we know that bad shit is going down outside. So she finally accepts that. And then we get kind of a little happy montage, as you were saying, JC. We don't know how much time has passed, but
they should have played the Friends theme.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that. And they're like doing jigsaw puzzles and they're playing games and they're like playing music. And, you know, they're having kind of a semblance of a domestic life, and she's kind of accepted it. And then, through again a series of kind of really neat little discoveries, she's wearing the exact earrings that, she only has one pair of earrings. Like, as a girl, I have like a million pair of earrings. Sure. The likelihood of me wearing the same earrings in a professional picture that I was wearing when I was abducted are extremely slim.
Honestly, like, it didn't even have to be the same pair of earrings.
No, it could have been an earring.
It's
yeah.
enough that it was a bloody earring. Yeah.
A girl's
help in blood.
Right. Something belonging to a young woman. Okay,
like,
anything.
I felt like they were too worried about making sure you were making that connection.
They were kind of playing to the lowest common denominator of, did you get it that it's this girl? You know what I mean? But that point was where I was most invested in it, and I was really hoping we'd get more kind of, because I'm a sucker for like serial killer movies, I love that shit, so I was really hoping we would get into kind of that. But it's heavily implied that he brought someone to the, yeah, so we're wondering, did he build the bunker as a kind of serial killer lair,
right,
or to have a little false domestic life with a young girl, so spooky and weird.
Little princess. We don't really know what happened there.
Yeah.
Because it leaves you, even at the end, even after he's dead, you're still like, so what was he?
Yeah.
You know, to what degree was he, like, you know, a monster? We know he's a monster, but to, like, how bad was it, really?
Yeah.
Did, like, what happened in this place before? Yeah. I like not knowing.
Yeah,
I
you're right.
I like it not being revealed.
Like,
and
Chris, I want to know.
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I called JJ earlier. He told me everything.
But, I'll tell you in my bunker.
Yeah. Oh, I've fallen for that one before. Okay. No.
Wait, what's your wrist size?
Small and feminine.
Cool. Those manacles at Best Buy.
Can I touch a super? Let's just gloss over how creepy that is. I'm actually getting goosebumps. Oh God. Like,
we have no plans on abducting you.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's on air now, so you can't go back on it. No take backsies, Chris.
I promise.
All right.
Only
good.
Only if the apocalypse happens.
Okay, good. That's fine. I'll deal with it at the time. We'll cross that bridge.
And only if a Mary Elizabeth Winstead is there helping.
Okay, that's also fine. She's a badass. I like her. But the thing I really liked actually was at the end of the movie, as you were just saying, not knowing. Because one of the creepiest parts for me, because when we meet John Goodman, he's got kind of a grizzly beard and he's wearing like really schleppy clothes. Then when he kills the young guy, mm-hmm. and there's in every scene that the Emmett, the young guy, and Michelle, yeah. and John Goodman have been in together. Howard has kind of had this look on his face of he hates Emmett so much. He hates him being there. Yes. And that's palpable in every scene. And as soon as Emmett is dead, it's completely different. Like, he's wearing, oh God, it was so creepy.
He shaves his feet.
Yeah. He's wearing like dress pants and like a button down shirt. And he's like, now it's just the two of us.
And I never get the feeling from this he has any romantic intentions. I think
you don't.
I think it's a father daughter.
I got a serious pedophile vibe.
The fact that he's like going like, I think he actually thinks that girl was his daughter in his head, even though she wasn't. I think that he has, like, he probably did abduct that girl, like, believed himself that she was his daughter, was freaked out that when she kept insisting it wasn't, and probably killed her. Like in this case, I think that's what we were seeing, the beginning of what would have eventually happened.
There is a kind of Freudian pseudo-sexual vibe, though, like when he's right up in her face, and there's always that kind of, I mean, you know, if you're a Freudian psychiatrist, you argue that all father-daughter relationships are sexual in some way, right? And that was definitely the vibe I was getting, like, sitting there as a woman, I was like, oh my God, I'm so deeply creeped out every time he's on screen. And I was definitely, I think that was implied just by her reactions. And when he gets dressed up and stuff, I was kind of like, this feels like a really twisted date night where he's like getting things ready so that, you know, they can be a proper family, you know, oh God. And so when she escapes, you're like, did he bring her there really to save her? was it just coincidence that the apocalypse happened, or did was he bringing her there to kind of groom her and then right? How scary is that?
He claims that it was an accident that was his fault that hit her, but maybe it wasn't an accident.
Well, we know that he
was. Maybe he saw her at the gas
station. We know that he clocked her at the gas station, right? Because there's that shot where there's a big truck and she looks at it uneasily, and there's like.
But it's never clear enough that it's the same truck.
It's heavily implied, though. Come on,
it's heavily implied. Yeah. But we're never absolutely sure right. what it was, which leads that whole.
Which I like as well.
Which is so maybe he was stalking her and he was intending to take her back for that purpose. Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe he wasn't.
Yeah, mysteries.
And just coincidentally, the apocalypse happened at the same time.
What a stroke of luck, huh? Great cover story.
Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of our review. Thank you very much, everyone. Hope you guys love. I know they're always like, you should do spoilers after the things. Well, we gave you the fucking spoilers. Yeah. So be happy, damn it.